when I saw Marcus walk in, I was going to ask him if he felt intimidated a few weeks ago. Or 2 months ago, maybe it was it, when you preached, filled in for Terry. I wasn't able to make it that day, and I felt bad because I was preaching up in Pierce. So I missed it. But you know, it is sort of intimidating, but guess what? I'm over it. I know everybody, I think, almost. I was really excited as I woke up. Well, actually, it was the night before, Friday night, when I went to bed. And I know that you've heard this a million times, but it really got set in my heart on Friday night. And it's Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. And it says, finally, and you don't have to rush to find these because there's going to be a lot of scripture. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate or think on these things. So when I went to bed on Friday night, I was bound determined that when I woke up Saturday morning, because I've known I was going to preach for like 2 months, and when I wake up on Saturday morning, I'm going to prepare my message. And the only way that I could do it, though, was to wake up thinking on these things. And what are these things? It's God. God is the only thing that's pure. God is the only thing that's true, or the reflection of God is the only thing that's true. I mean, I had to think on God the whole day. And when I got up, of course, there was a few things I needed to do in the garden. It didn't matter. I was thinking about God. I took a nap at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. My message strung all over the table. And I was thinking about God. And when I was woke up, I was writing things down again. And I had like, well, some of you have seen me when I lots of times my pockets are packed full of notes. I had notes from 2 months ago about today. And so, but it's true. I just have to emphasize that it's true that you think about God, and you can think about God from the moment you wake up till you go to sleep at night. You can think about God and still carry on your normal daily activities, but it's in a different light. I guarantee it. So I wanted to mention, first off, that we will be taking a second offering right after communion. It is Communion Sunday. We'll be taking a second offering for the Benevolence Fund. Okay? So just wanted to throw that out there real quick. I'll leave that right there. Okay. Now, I was asked to do the service this morning, and so we are supposed to be reading through the Bible week by week, and everybody that wanted one got a Bible, and you're reading through it. And so a long time ago, when I knew that it was June 5th, I went way ahead, and I went, oh, my gosh. Proverbs and the Song of Solomon for that week. Okay, well, I'm not touching the Song of Solomon. I can guarantee you that is Christina's department. I will not do it. And so in settling back on that it has to be something in Proverbs, as I was reading, something really enlightened me and spoke to me. And so today, what I'm about to share comes from nothing more or less than the Holy Spirit, because I cannot make this stuff up. I pray that I don't disappoint you, because if I do, you'll be, you know, more appreciative of Pastor Terry. If I do a good job, then you will be thankful that Terry has mentored me. But that's just a joke, because in reality, at the end of the day, or at the end of this message, did the Holy Spirit speak into your life? It's not me. Did the Holy Spirit speak into your life? Because that is what you got to look for. What is the Spirit speaking to me? When anybody speaks, what is the Spirit saying to me? Proverbs chapter 8, verse 1. Does not wisdom cry out and understanding lift up her voice? She takes her stand on the top of the high hill beside the way where the paths meet. She cries out by the gates at the entry to the city, at the entrance of the doors. To you, O men, I call, and my voice is the sons of men. O you simple ones, understand prudence, and you fools, be of understanding heart. Listen, for I will speak of excellent things, and from the opening of my lips will come right things. For my mouth will speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are with righteousness. Nothing crooked or perverse is in them. They are all plain to him who understands and right to those who find knowledge. Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her. Chapter 8, verse 12 of Proverbs. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance and the evil way, and the perverse mouth I hate. Counsel is mind and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me, kings reign and rulers decree justice. By me, princes rule and nobles, all the judges of the earth. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yes, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I traverse the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of justice, that I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that I might fill their treasuries. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I have been established from everlasting, from the beginning, before there was ever an earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth or the fields or the primal dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep. When he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the foundations of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit so that the waters would not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him as a master craftsman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and my delight was with the sons of men. Now, therefore, listen to me, my children. For blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and do not disdain it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. All those who hate me love death. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word this morning, Lord. I totally surrender to you this morning, Lord, as I would hope and pray that everyone here surrenders to you this morning, Lord. Let us hear what you want us to hear. Let us be taught by you, Holy Spirit, this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, let's touch on verse 12. Remember where we transitioned? Okay, it was a flip. It was a change in Proverbs. Okay, so we have Solomon speaking about wisdom to what appears to be wisdom speaking. Okay, now just pay attention for a moment, please. I, wisdom, dwell. There's a switch. There's a change. Okay, has anybody ever thought about that? Okay, don't worry. Let's note, I, wisdom, is personified. It's a figure of speech. I, wisdom, is personified. It's a figure of speech. Okay, there's a Hebrew word for it, and I'm not going to say it because I could only spell it because I copied and pasted it. It's most important to notice that these figures of speech, to notice these figures of speech, it's absolutely necessary for true interpretation. Okay. A figure of speech relates to the form in which the words are used. It consists in the fact that a word or words are used out of their ordinary sense or place or manner for the purpose of attracting our attention to what is thus said. A figure of speech is deigned and legitimate and a legitimate departure from the laws of language in order to emphasize what is said. Hence, in such figures, we have the Holy Spirit's own marking, so to speak, of his own words. This particular form or unusual manner may not be true or so true to the literal meaning of the words, but is more true to their real sense and truer to truth. Figures are never used but for the sake of emphasis. They can never, therefore, be ignored. Ignorance of figures of speech has led to the grossest errors, which have been caused either from taking literally what is figurative or from taking figuratively what is literal. So when we read in Proverbs chapter 8, starting verse 12 and going on for another 24 verses, that it appears literally that someone else is talking besides Solomon. In many cases, we want to put a name on it. Okay? I wisdom. Okay? They want to put a name on what's I wisdom. Okay? They spend valuable time, and in the name of human intellect, we stand behind our findings. You know what I mean. You've heard it. You've been taught it. And some denominations still teach it. That's Jesus talking. Have you ever heard that one? Jesus took over the scriptures right there and started talking about himself. Now, I'm not saying that Jesus couldn't have done this. I'm not saying that Jesus is not all wise. I'm not saying that he didn't or he couldn't, right? But we must be careful in our understanding of what we read and not to label something that we believe to be true without guidance and wisdom. Without guidance and wisdom. I just baited that one. Okay, we're trying to understand wisdom, but the only way we can understand wisdom is with guidance and wisdom. What I was implying is that we should not try to interpret scripture of any kind without this true wisdom, especially when we try to interpret scriptures like Proverbs 8, 12 through 36. I wisdom, and then we want to put a label on it. This has become my message today. I need wisdom in order to understand and interpret these passages. And how does this wisdom come about? Real quickly, for the sake of understanding of personification or figure of speech, I have just a couple more scriptures I want to read, and then you'll maybe more understand. Okay? Listen to this one. All of my bones shall say, Lord, who is like you? Delivering the poor from him who is too strong for him. Yes, the poor and needy from him who plunders him. Now, did his bones really say that? No, it was his whole being said that. Okay, that's a figure of speech. That's a personification. How about this one in Job? Now, ask the beasts and they will teach you, and the birds of the air and they will tell you, or speak to the earth and it will teach you, and the fish of the sea will explain to you. That's a figure of speech. Personification. God's word, importantly, this is important, God's word is made up of words which the Holy Spirit teaches. God's word is made up of words which the Holy Ghost teaches. Okay, 1 Corinthians, I'm going to go here real quick. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words, which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ, as in 1 Corinthians. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing. Because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. One more quick. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, for righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. I was going to say this, then I decided not to say it, and then I decided I was going to say this because I just didn't want to look old. But like a quarter of a century ago, 25 years ago, I'm thinking, that's old, man. I mean, I could say a quarter of a century ago, I was, my wife and I were living up on a road between Julietta and Genesee, Idaho. They're still in Idaho. Okay, now, I would go to a men's study group on Wednesday night in Genesee, and then on Sundays and sometimes other days during the week, we would drive all the way to Orofino and go to church. So this is back in 1991, 92, somewhere in there. Okay? And on Wednesday nights, I would go to this men's Bible study, and it was really good. And okay, so this is long enough ago that when we sat in this men's group, what we were doing is going through a series of teachings, and they were all on cassettes. Okay? Not 8-tracks, but they were on cassettes. Okay? And we would have notes, and we would sit there, and we would listen to an hour each Wednesday of this series. And I think the series we were on was like a 6-week series. And as I was sitting there, now remember, I would go there on Wednesday night and then go to church on Sunday here in Orofino. And then during the week, if we didn't go anywhere, I was always listening to somebody on TV, or I mean, I was just consuming myself with the Word of God by every type of preacher and teacher that I could find. Or that sounded good. Okay, so here I am. I'm sitting there on Wednesday night. And it was the oddest thing, because as I was sitting there, it just seemed like all of a sudden I couldn't hear the teaching anymore. And there was a reason, because in my mind, and I didn't say anything verbally, but in my mind, I was somewhat confused. And I kept talking to myself into my mind, and in my mind, I was talking to God, and I was saying, you know, God, how do I know, you know, who is the right preacher to listen to? If what he's saying is true, who is the right teacher? How am I going to know this stuff? Because there's so many of them out there. I mean, and that was like 25 years ago. Now there's this like a banquet table of people that you could listen to, right? Who do I listen to? Who do I trust? Who is giving me the right information? And as I'm sitting there, I remember sitting in that chair, and as I'm sitting there, I'm thinking these things, and everything is, I don't even know what's going on. And I know these guys are listening to this series, this message on cassette tape. And as I'm sitting there, it's going through my mind, all these things. And all of a sudden, this loud no. Just a clear day. And I lifted my eyes up and I looked around and I thought, well, they didn't hear that. Ooh, what is that? And all of a sudden, just out of my spirit, the words came, listen to the Holy Spirit. And I knew right then and there that this was not in the series. It was not on the tape. This was something, this was God speaking to me. It was so loud and so clear. And I remember I sat there and for a minute or two, it probably wasn't a long, long time, I grab my tablet and my paper and I start writing all these things down that's being downloaded on me. That was a true story, and it was a loud voice, and it came from inside of my spirit, and it totally changed my life. Before this night, I could totally relate to Solomon. Back, remember when he was went to Gibeon to sacrifice? Pastor Terry brought this up a few weeks ago. He touched on it. God appeared to him in a dream, and the Lord said, "Ask what I shall give thee." Well, one of the statements that Solomon made was in 1 Kings 3:7, "And now, O Lord, my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David, my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in." I don't know how to go out or how to come in. Well, that's kind of where I was, right? I was kind of in a mixed up place, not really knowing that I was crying out for God to reveal to me who he really was. You know, it's like a little kid that's like, "Where are you going?" I don't know. "Where are you going to go?" I don't know. You know, I mean, it was the oddest thing. And then I found this scripture, and it's not a surprise that Solomon would say something like that. I found this scripture. I just want to read it quick. It's Numbers 27, 16, and 17. "Let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation who may go out before them and go in before them, who may lead them out and bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord may not be like sheep which have no shepherd." Okay, so what is that implying? That you are like a little child. Is that implying that a man that is not filled with the Holy Spirit should not be your shepherd? Or your teacher? Because he wouldn't know how to go out before them and how to go in before them. He will not know how to lead them out and lead them in. Our dependence on the Holy Spirit is magnified right now because we have to know inside of us, in our very being, that the people that are set before us to teach and preach are filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's where they get their wisdom, and that's where they get their guidance for you and your life and for them. So this was the beginning of my dependence on the Holy Spirit. This was the beginning of a journey that was being taught to me about the indwelling life of Christ and the importance of coming to an understanding about it. The kicker is that only the indwelling life of Christ, the Holy Spirit, the very Spirit of God, can teach you about this very thing. This has to dwell in you to teach you about it. I just thought I'd throw that one out there. What I'm talking about, ladies and gentlemen, is the good news. We've all heard about it, right? We can memorize this chain of events that we call the gospel and some call the good news, right? Jesus was born of a virgin, lived a life without sin, was crucified and died. After 3 days, rose again and was seen by many, then ascended to the Father. But many times we leave out the other promise fulfilled. That's what I call the good news. In the book of Acts, Peter didn't forget the promise. Acts 2:29, "Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us today. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne. He, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. The promise. The promise. The good news we don't want to leave out is that the Holy Spirit has been poured out and Jesus promised it. It's been poured out. Okay, there's many more. Ephesians is full of them. There's a lot of scripture about it. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth. This is Ephesians 1:13. The gospel of your salvation. In whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. With that Holy Spirit of promise, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of his glory, of his inheritance to the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, his mighty power. I have one more I want to share. To me, this is in Ephesians 3:8, to me, who am less than the least of all saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. And to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. Here it is. To the intent that now the manifold wisdom, or the infinitely diversified wisdom of God, might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, I'm not here to confuse you. So, who dwells in us? The Holy Spirit? Jesus or the Father? There are a lot of good answers out there. I want to give an example of something here. What comes to mind when we hear the word comforter or helper? Huh? Holy Spirit, right? Paracletos, correct? Okay. That word actually means, it's a meaning to come alongside and aid, one of the same sort. John 14:16. I'm going to compare two scriptures, two different things here. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Who? The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. So we already have this word. I will send you another helper, another comforter. I will send you the Holy Spirit. Now, 1 John 2:1. Check this out. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. You know what advocate means? Paracletos. Means paracletos in 1 John. Yes. Your advocate. Yes. So in 1 John 2:1, the advocate with the Father is the same word, paracletos. And he's calling him Jesus Christ, the righteous. These two words are the same, and just how can that be, right? Is this implying that Jesus and the Holy Spirit are the same? Christina? I've never tried this before. Go ahead and talk in it and see if. Let's watch it for a second.
Check 1, 2.
You good? Okay, 1 second, please. Here's the chair. It says Holy Spirit. The Father. This is a really quick prop setup. Jesus and you. Now, for the sake of the demonstration, if I sit in this chair, wouldn't you say I'm in the chair? Oh, come on. I'm in the chair, right? For the sake of demonstration, I'm in the chair. I'm in the chair.
We had this argument. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way. I'm the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also, and from now on you know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said, have I been so long with you that you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father? And the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these will he do, because I'm going to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. A little while longer and the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live. You will live also. At that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him and will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I'm going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice, because I said, I am going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes it away. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and they throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, I also have loved you, so abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. You see, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it. These things I command you, that you love one another. Now, when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. I've spoken this to you that you would not stumble. But now I'm going away to him who sent me. And none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I've said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Oh, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. And he will not speak of in his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak and he will tell you about things to come. And he will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and he will declare it to you. And all things that the Father has, they're mine. Therefore, I said he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. A little while and you will not see me, and a little while you will see me because I go to the Father. You see, the Father himself loves you because you've loved me and have believed that I came from God. I come from the Father and have come into the world. Again, I leave the world and I go to the Father. Do you now believe? Indeed, the hour is coming. Yes, it has come, that you will be scattered, everyone to his own, and will leave me alone. And yet I'm not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth, and I have finished the work which you have given me to do. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I'm glorified in them. Now I'm no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father, keep them through your name, those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are one. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you have given me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one, I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved me as you have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also whom you've given me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you've given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you've sent me, and I've declared to them your name and will declare it, that the love which you have loved me may be in them and I in them.
What happened?
Your battery's probably out. I don't know.
No, it's not.
Is it on?
Hello?
No.
Oh, it's good. Okay.
You muted it.
You want me to repeat all that? No, I'm not going to. Yeah. No, I'm not going to. Thank you.
Yep.
So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life, will give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So the question is, has anybody asked it? How do I know if the Spirit dwells in me? I think that's kind of the question I was asking 25 years ago. Didn't even really know it. Romans 8:16 is very clear. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And once you've experienced the witness of the Spirit, it's now a process. This is not a hit and run situation. Just like salvation, it's not a hit and run situation. Okay? Salvation is also a process. You are saved. You are being saved, and you will be saved. That's a whole nother message. But our cry should ultimately be, God, give me wisdom, the wisdom, to understand what wisdom is. And to understand what your indwelling life means to me. Paul said, I pray that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. That only happens one way. It's Communion Sunday. As we come to the communion table, or introduce the communion table, let me remind you that everything, okay, everything, your five senses, every organ, every cell in your body, your thoughts, your mind, everything can become subject to the Holy Spirit. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind was one of the things written in Romans. When you are born again, your very DNA will change. Your history is now rewritten, and your future is sure. We must live this new life with a total dependence on the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and they are all in one. Break the curse of darkness and of sickness and death by receiving the Holy Spirit and living the Spirit-filled life. When the Father sends His Spirit to woo you, receive Him, believe Him, and start living the life intended for you.